Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Elson, and we're set as usual for our Sunday morning show, and we're delighted to have an old friend of mine, Bob Kennedy, the general manager of the Cubs, as our guest today, so we'll talk baseball. And Bob Kennedy has practically spent his entire life in baseball. I can remember him as a player and as a scout for the Cardinals and the general manager of the Cubs, where he's done a very fine job. And he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. Remember, the Cubs will wind up their series today with the Giants, and you'll have a chance to see one of the most publicized ball players in the world and one of the nicest guys, Vida Blue, who is the guy that really was the man to feel sorry for in the whole Finley Kuhn controversy. But Vida Blue, really an outstanding pitcher, will pitch for the Giants today in the final game of the series. The White Sox will be playing the final game of their series at Boston against the Red Sox. So try to get out to Wrigley Field today for what should be a great ball game. I can remember Bob Kennedy when he played third base for the White Sox and did a mighty, mighty good job of it. Bob, what do you recall about the Sox days?
Well, they were lean.
Yeah.
And, well, it was really entertaining. I really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun, and, of course, it was like playing in your old neighborhood. You know, I used to sell Blue Valley popcorn at Comiskey Park when I was a kid before I got there, and I went to school a few blocks away from it. And, in fact, I got the chance to play with my idols, Teddy Lyons and Luke Appling, who I thought were such outstanding individuals. And
they were.
And still are. And so I thought it was a real good deal for me.
You know, we were talking before we were visiting here, and we're talking about hitters, and it's interesting. I know how close you were to Ted Williams, who's one of the greatest hitters that I ever saw. What do you recall about Williams?
Well, Williams, I think I know him probably better than anybody. I was in the service with him twice. You know, we had the World War II, and we spent about almost 3.5 years there, and then we went back in a Korean deal, and we both flew jets there. In fact, he went land-based, and I stayed aboard the carrier, but we spent an awful lot of time talking about hitting. And he is the only hitter in history that was a pull hitter, pull consistently, and led a league. Because all the other hitters who led the league usually hit 60% of the balls the opposite field. They get a little more time. And when you hit the ball the opposite field, the infielder doesn't get as good a jump on the ball as a fellow that pulls the ball. You get a little better jump when a guy pulls the ball than when he hits the opposite field.
I've never seen an overshift put on like they put on against Williams. That was really an overshift.
Well, Boudreaux did that. The only problem with Boudreaux's shift is we didn't put anybody in right field seats. Yeah, you know, we had a problem with that out there. But, you know, the funny thing, I played right field against Williams for years, and I used to play him a lot shorter than I would another right fielder or another left-hand hitter, because when he hit the ball and got under it, it was gone. And when he didn't get under it, the ball sunk like a tennis lob over a net. He would hit real sinkers, so the ball didn't carry as far. And so I used to play him considerably shorter than I did other right-hand hitter or left-hand hitters.
Who was the best right-hand hitter you ever saw?
Well, no, I don't think there's any question that Hornsby was the best. And I had the good fortune of throwing batting practice him when I was a young fella in 41 at Sox Park when Lou Fonseca first started taking those pictures. And he was about 43 or 40 years old at that time and hadn't played for several years. But he, for 40 minutes, he hit nothing but line drives all over the ballpark. I couldn't believe it. Here I was just trying to hit the ball, and he was in balls all over the park.
Well, he had to be one of the greatest right-hand hitters that ever lived. Speaking of films, you see occasionally where a ball player in any particular club is in a slump and somebody's been taking pictures of him. Does that really help to pick out your faults?
Yes, we do. In fact, we've taken considerable of Kingman right now from different sides, and we showed him his films. In the last couple of days now, he's swung the bat much better time swings than he's had before. And we think that he's just about – it takes a while. Anybody that uppercuts a ball, his slumping time is a little bit longer than a fellow who swings down at the ball. For instance, Gross and Bittner swing down at the ball. Their period of extended slump is much less by doing that. The fellow that uppercuts and pulls the ball, he has to commit himself so much sooner. So his period and his timing is much more precise, and it takes him longer to get back. And this is probably what's happened to Kingman.
Don't you think the hot weather will help him?
Well, I don't think any doubt about it, you know. Yeah. No question about it. And playing every day where you come to the ballpark and you don't know whether you're going to play, it's cold, you say, well, are we going to play or aren't we going to play? And I didn't want to play the last game with the Dodgers, but the way the schedule was, they come in here for 2 days, a doubleheader on Sunday, a single on Monday, and I knew the weather was skeptical for this weekend. We might have wound up with four doubleheaders in 5 days. So as it is now, we have a doubleheader Sunday with the Dodgers when they come in next time, and then on following Wednesday, we have another doubleheader with the Giants in their three-game series. Now it's four.
Well, Kingman last year had you know, when we're talking about a fellow driving in runs, that really is a big item. He drove in a lot of runs last year with a low batting average.
Well, it was really an odd situation last year. Kingman hit about 223 last year, I think, and he was with four different clubs, and he went in stretches of not playing 2 and 3 weeks at a time. He pinch-hitted about 55 to 60 times during that period. He went to bat 400 and, I don't know, 25, 30 times, something like that. He got 93 base hits, but he also hit 26 home runs and drove in 78 runs for a bad year. We think that, for instance, to give you an example, Bittner had a great year last year. He drove in 61, hit 12 home runs, but he hit 300. So where's your sense of values? You want a 223 to drive in 78 and hit 26, or do you want somebody to hit 300 and hit 61? So we think that Dave has always driven in runs. He's always had periods like he has now. He's always, you know, had periods where he's looked bad in the outfield, bat at bat, and everybody wants to shoot him. Then you turn around and hit one, and everybody loves him, and it's going to be like that with him. For instance, you know, everybody said Babe Ruth struck out a terrible amount of times in the 22 years he's played. But the funny part of it is Babe Ruth never struck out 100 times in any 1 year. The most he ever struck out was 93 times. It's a trivia question that a lot of people don't realize. He never struck out 100 times in one season, even though everybody thought he was a great strikeout hitter.
Well, your buddy Williams never struck out an awful lot.
No, I think he was around 35 to 42 or 3. I led the White Sox 1 year in 1947 in strikeouts. I led him in something. And I led him in strikeouts in 1947, and I had 47 strikeouts. Led the whole club. So, you know, today that might lead it the other way.
What do you recall about Luke Appling, who is such a wonderful guy and such a great ball player? Was he fouling those balls on purpose?
A lot of times he did. I can never forget, we were in Philadelphia one day, and he had been to some doings, some church affair, and it lasted a long time. And he came to the ballpark the next day, and he said, Bob, he said, old Luke's a little tired. He said, I got to get some base on balls today. So he went up to the plate, and twice of the four times he went to the plate, he had two strikes right away, and he wound up with four base on balls. You know, it's amazing what he could do. And he did it in such a manner that I don't think anybody ever enjoyed playing like he did. You know, he'd be singing at shortstop, You Are My Sunshine and everything, and I'm scared to death and worried I'm going to make a mistake, and he's having so much fun. He'd play like he had $4 million in the bank all the time.
Another fellow who played that way, who really enjoyed the game, was Nelson Fox.
Oh, yeah, Nelly was, I had the good fortune of playing with and against Nelly. And, in fact, in 55, if you look back at the White Sox in 55, we only finished five games out. And we should have won a pennant that year. That's the year that Dick Donovan had the appendix operation, had to have an appendix. And he was 15-5, and we were in Washington. And Marty Marion and Frank Lane were in the room, and the doctor, and I was rooming with Dick at the time. And they said, well, he has an appendectomy, and we're going to have to operate. And I asked the doctor, I said, well, can you freeze it between starts? Well, he said, yes, we could do that. He said, but you might lose the pitcher. I said, well, we haven't won a pennant in 28 years. We can afford one pitcher. I thought Donovan was going to kill me.
Were you in Philadelphia with us the night the Ferris Fane broke loose?
No, I don't think so, no.
You remember Ferris?
Oh, yes, very much, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he broke up some nightclub or something like that. I'll never forget that affair. And then there was a night at Pittsburgh when Raleigh Hemsley had a rent-a-car, and they were excavating a street, and he was getting home late, and he was out celebrating, too, and drove this car down into this hole. What a time that was.
Well, Raleigh was quite a guy, and he's gone now, but he was a great ball player, great catcher, and an outstanding individual. Yeah.
You must be pretty happy now with the Cubs. You've made some good deals. You've got good balance on the club. You've got, Franks has got a bench now that he didn't always have. You've got guys that can do two or three things. So all in all, the prospects this year for the Cubs, if they can stay in there and nobody's running away with your division, Cubs should have a terrific year. What do you need actually, Bob, in the way of attendance to break even?
Well, looked at it today, an estimated, we need about 1,400,000 and, about 65 to 70,000. 1,500,000 would give us some profit. 1,600,000 is what we're really aiming for. A minimum of 1,600,000 is what we think. If we get a break in the weather, and if Kingman gets to hitting the ball like we, you know, just normal. No great year, but just normal. We think he'll hit 40 or better. And, we think that'll be a big draw for us if we get a break in the weather on our key days.
There's been a lot of talk and a lot written about what may be a rule one of these days, this three-martini luncheon and dinner, how it's going to affect sports. How do you view it?
Well, it's really going to be a disaster, really, to the country. Mr. Carter wants that your tickets that you buy for sporting events, you can't write it off. The corporate bought tickets, you can't write it off your income tax. Well, for instance, we're 84% corporate bought. The White Sox are 94%. Kansas City is 95%. And I would estimate that Notre Dame and Michigan and Ohio State, their football programs, they've got to be at least 60%. So if this goes into effect, you can close your universities and their football programs. You can take 50% of the restaurants in Chicago and forget them, and 50% of the golf courses. And it really is something to think about, and it's really going to be a disaster.
Well, it certainly will. Well, of course, there's no assurance yet that Congress is going to agree to this, is there?
No, and the restaurant people who are the best organized are really lobbying for this or against it. And we definitely are in baseball and professional sports. Football will be the same program. And then the hockey and the basketball, they're all in the same area. So it really would be a disaster to not only professional sports, but it'd really be a disaster to your college programs, your universities.
You know, Bob, when you stop and think of the prices of hockey and football and college football and the theater and so on, baseball is the best buy for the fan in the country.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we're doing everything possible in promotions and group sales in our place to get the fan there and get him there at a reasonable price. And to stay with our price. We're cutting back. We're doing everything possible. And of course, we're trying to increase our farm system, which is, you know, that gets up into money. We're trying to sign new young players, which is our whole program, really. That's the most important program we have, is to develop some young players and we're getting more scouts. We've got about 13 now.
You know, with the passing of Phil Wrigley, who I knew well and was a wonderful, wonderful man and did a lot for baseball, a lot of fans are asking, well, now with Bill Wrigley, the new head man, is there going to be any change in the thinking about lights at Wrigley Field?
No change in thinking. It's going to be the same way as it always has been. And there's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, a lot of people like that. There's nothing nicer than beating out a Wrigley Field in the sunshine and seeing a ball game.
Well, I know that there's a lot of men have said, you know, I don't get a chance to come down to the ballpark. Well, we can understand that. But also, if you had lights in that ballpark, you wouldn't be sending your children down to the ballpark either. For instance, opening day, I think we were 70% under 20 years of age. And we get a tremendous amount of young people who come down to the ballpark and get out of there and get back home where normally they wouldn't be able to get there. And we feel that this is so important, and we feel that the people that supported the Cubs, for instance, last year we had $1,450,000. And for a ball club that was, we had a pretty good first half, but we wound up 500. We hope to improve it by 8 or 9 ball games. You never know, but lightning can strike. But I'd like to win between 88 and 90 ball games this year. Or I'd like to win the whole thing, let's put it that way. But I would be satisfied with that much improvement with the young players.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, Bob Kennedy, the general manager of the Cubs. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Bob Kennedy, the general manager of the Cubs. Next week, our guest will be Merrill Harmon, who's the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll have a radio announcer as our guest. guest next week. Bob, when you're talking about lights and no lights, as a player yourself, what about the transition from daylight to night ball? What did the players say about it?
Well, it's not that bad now with the lights they have. It's outstanding. You know, the lighting systems all over the league are great. You know, there isn't that much difference.
What about the Cubs now pitching-wise? We had Rick Reuschel out here the other night, and he was a delightful guest. Your pitching is better than last year, isn't it?
Well, we hope it is. I mean, we think it is. We're just going to have to wait and see. We've got a few things to iron out. We were a little disappointed in Kruko, and I just think that he's worrying about it a little bit. We're pleased with Suter, who's come back and pitched well for us. Burris has pitched much better than he has, especially the first part of the season. And Fryman has pitched good, but we just haven't got him any runs.
No.
And everything that can happen to happen to him, and not that he's the answer. And, of course, Roberts is back healthy again. He's about ready to go. And so we look for and Donnie Moore has pitched well. Donnie Moore's come through and has pitched well for us, which is a young fella coming through. Lamp has had one good game. So I think Ruschel's going to pitch today, by the way, too. I think they switched the rotation a little bit, and we'll see what happens.
I was talking with a real Cub fan the other night, Ike Sewell down at Sioux Casa. You ever go in there for any of that? They have the world's greatest chili.
I've been in there, but I haven't had the chili.
Well, don't miss it. I had Earl Weaver in there, and he is a real chili hound. You know, the Baltimore club. A lot of people view him as the best manager in baseball. How do you view it?
Well, there's no question he's a good manager, but, you know, it's just like everything else. It's like your high school coaches and your junior college coaches and your college coaches. All your good recruiters are good coaches. If you have talent, you can win. If you don't have talent, you can't win. I don't care how smart you are. So it has to come from your scouts. Your scouts probably are the most important people in your organization. They ferret out the talent. And when you get talent to work with, you can win. If you don't have it, I don't care what you do. You can't do it.
Ike Sewell wanted me to ask you an interesting question. I know you've been involved in a lot of player trades and a lot of transactions. What deal that you were involved in, maybe with the Cardinals or the Cubs, took the longest, and what was the quickest deal you ever made?
Well, probably the Gross deal was the quickest. And a lot of deals happen fairly quick, you know. The Mundy and Madlock deal took a little time, a lot of thinking, because we knew we were going to get a tremendous amount of criticism for it. And it's a question of whether you could stand the heat or not after you made them. That's the problem. You only have one guess. You either make it or you don't make it. And then when you make it, you better be able to stand it, because if it turns out good, you're smart. If it don't, you're bad. But I think probably the longest one we had was when I was with the Cardinals and we got Richie Allen. That deal took a little time. In fact, if you remember, Flood didn't want to report. And then they wound up, I wanted to give a pitcher by the name of Guzman. It's Guzman, G-U. And they wanted to keep him, and they gave a kid by the name of Montanez instead. And I wanted to keep the bat, and they wanted to keep the pitcher. However, it turned out to be a good deal regardless for us, because Allen had a fine year for us over there in the 1 year he was there with the Cardinals.
You know, when you look at that St. Louis lineup, they look like they've got a real good ball club. The last few years, they've been disappointing.
Well, they've got an awful young club. They've got a bunch of their own players who I had all of them in our minor league system. And they've got a young club. It's just going to take time. You don't start winning a pennant with a ball club until your ball players get around 27, 28, 29 years old in that area. I think the Oakland club proved that. I had the Oakland club in their first year in Oakland in 68, and I had Mundy and Jackson and Bando in that group, and they were all young players at that time, and it was just going to take two or three years after that for them to come together, and it just takes that amount of time.
Well, they really turned out to have a remarkable start this year, and they don't have a big money player on the ball club.
No, that's right. And if they don't start drawing some people, you know, 2,000 and 3,000 people doesn't get it done either. They can't, you know, he's going to take a bath over there, and it's a shame because he's got some good young ball players.
And he gets some good young pitchers. Fellas I never heard of come up with some remarkable
game. Well, I tried to make a deal for two of the pitchers he had got from the Giants. Last year, I tried to get this boy Worth, who I've known since he's 6 years old. He was with my son in Arizona. They went to school together. And I was trying to get Alan Worth on there, but I couldn't make a deal for him. And then I've got a kid by the name of Johnson, a left-hander, who I really like. And I haven't been able to do any good.
Pitched a great game the other night.
Yeah, the other day.
I remember that you were very excited and very high in your opinion of DeJesus before you got him.
Oh, yeah, he and
talking
he.
Talking about him years ago.
Well, he and Anaveras, yes. I knew both players pretty well, and I'm sure that everybody knows who DeJesus and Anaveras are now. And I think they're going to be great players for a long time.
Bob Kennedy, is now your role as an official in baseball and with your fine organization, and the Wrigleys are wonderful people. Are you concerned about the future of baseball?
No, not really, because I think God likes it to begin with. And I think the people, regardless of what they say or how they do, but just take the Cub fans, for instance. They're outstanding, and they believe in baseball, and they support it. And with that kind of support and a belief in it, I don't see any way it's going to go down. If we can get a little smarter, it'll help, you know. Never mind the people, but those of us who are running get a little smarter, it'll help. And we can get our basic agreement down where we can do it. I think, Bob, the fuel shortage might help everything, contrary to what people will think. I think eventually we're going to have to go to 3-18 leagues and get into our own area where we're playing a little bit more of competition in our own area and cut down the travel and expenses, because travel expenses are tremendous, you know. And it'll be nice, you know, like we'd be playing the White Sox, we take a cab to the South Side, and regardless of what kind of years we had, we'd be all right. We'd have a civil war anytime we wanted it, you know.
When you sit in on these National League meetings, what do they have against the designated hitter rule?
Well, I've been against it a little bit myself. I think but I'm changing a little bit. You know, I can be convinced. But I have been against it for the simple reason. I think it takes a second guess away from the fan. I think it takes a lot of the managing away from the fan. I think there's a lot more changes on the ball field, good or bad. At least the fan gets a chance to say, well, I told that manager he didn't know what he was doing when it turned out bad. And if it turns out good, see, I knew he was going to do that. And I think this makes for more conversation and controversy. If you don't have any controversy in sport, you don't have any fans. Like, I've got a letter from a lady wrote me a letter the other day from Rockford. Boy, she blasted me about why don't I get some of those free agent pitchers in our ballpark, and why don't I keep worrying about hitting for when I need pitching? I should know better. And she said, and I can't think of your name, but anyway, I wrote her a letter back and I explained that the free agent pitcher will not sign with us. In other words, like Seaver, we try to make a deal for Seaver, and he wouldn't come to our ballpark. And Kuzman, by the way, he wouldn't come. He's a 10-year man. And in a deal with Cincinnati, we talked about Billingham. Well, Billingham's a 10-year man. He wouldn't pitch in our ballpark, so I couldn't make a deal there. And there was Eastwick and Forster and several other people who we tried to make deals for and try to negotiate with their agents to come to our – and the pitchers won't come. They said, hey, I don't pitch in that ballpark, you know. Grimsley, for one, with Montreal. Yeah. So we really have to get our own.
Speaking of Grimsley, that would have been some asset to you.
Well, yes, if he would have come here, it would have been fine.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Bob Kennedy, the general manager of the Cubs. Remember today, the final game of the series with the Giants, and try to get out to Wrigley Field and see it. And we'll be back with our guest in just about 1 minute. Our guest today is Bob Kennedy, the general manager of the Cubs, and the Cubs are off to a good start. They're two games out. And everybody's well, really bunched up. Even Pittsburgh is having trouble. You know, a great pitcher like Candelaria, he's won one and lost five. Now, there's a guy you'd like to have, isn't it?
Well, either that or I'd like to have him continue the way he is, you know.
Somebody else.
That's right. But there's no question I'd like to have him. There's no question about that. And we'd take any good starting left-hand pitcher we'd sure like to get, but... You know, whoever has them are not going to get rid of them. They don't want to trade them. They want to keep what they have, and I can't blame them. You know, if I had one, I wouldn't get rid of them either.
Bob Kennedy, do you feel that the baseball schedule is too long?
Oh, yes. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think we're overlapping a little bit. I think we're going to have to, as I say, the fuel shortage might take care of it. We may have to pull in our horns a little bit and get it a little shorter. But when if you're in the running and it gets into September, you wish it was a little longer, you know. And, of course, the clubs that are in the good weather, the California clubs, they want to see it long because they don't have a problem with weather and they're out there in a nice sunshine.
How are your new concession departments going at Wrigley Field?
Good. We leased our concessions this year, and we think they're they've got some bugs in them, and they've got a new system that our people are not used to. They haven't been used to this for some time, but we think it's going to be better. It's going to control the crowd better. We'll get better food to them and at a quicker pace, and it'll give us more concourse space as the traffic goes through there because we don't have too much to begin with, and we feel it's going to be fine. We think these are high-class people. They know their business, and we think it'll turn out all right.
Bob, thanks very much for taking the time to be with us today, and good fortune to you and a great ball club, the Chicago Cubs.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob Kennedy, an old friend, he's made some real good deals out there for the Cubs, and the Cubs are really should be headed for a great year. So remember, try to get out today and see the final game of the series at Wrigley Field. And Vida Blue is going to pitch today for the Giants. That should be some kind of a ball game. Remember, next week our guest is going to be Merrill Harmon, the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye. Have a nice Sunday, and we'll be back with you next Sunday at the same time.